The other children started complaining that they wanted guns as well, and a few of the more forward ones started trying to tug them from the guards, who had been thoughtless enough to take their weapons out. Then someone threw some jelly at Warlock. The boy squeaked and pulled the trigger of the gun. It was a Magnum 32, CIA issue, grey, mean, heavy, capable of blowing a man away at 30 paces and leaving nothing more than a red mist, a ghastly mess, and a certain amount of paperwork. Aziraphale blinked. A thin stream of water squirted from the nozzle and soaked Crowley, who had been looking out the window, trying to see if there was a huge black dog in the garden. Aziraphale looked embarrassed. Then a cream cake hit him in the face. It was almost 3:05. With a gesture, Aziraphale turned the rest of the guns into water pistols as well and walked out. Crowley found him on the pavement outside, trying to extricate a rather squishy dove from the arm of his frock coat.
"It's late," said Aziraphale. "I can see that," said Crowley. "Comes of sticking it up your sleeve."
He reached out and pulled the limp bird from Aziraphale's coat and breathed life back into it. The dove cooed appreciatively and flew off a trifle warily.
"Not the bird," said the angel. "The dog, it's late."
Crowley shook his head thoughtfully.
"We'll see."
He opened the car door and flipped on the radio.
"I should be so lucky, 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 lucky. I should be so lucky in..."
"Hello, Crowley."
"Hello, who is this?"
"Dagon, Lord of the Files, Master of Madness, Under Duke of the Seventh Torment. What can I do for you?"
"The Hellhound, I'm just checking that it got off okay."
"Released 10 minutes ago. Why, hasn't it arrived? Is something wrong?"
"Oh, no, nothing's wrong. Everything's fine. Oops, no, I can see it now. Good dog, nice dog, everything's terrific. You're doing a great job down there, people. Well, lovely talking to you, Dagon. Catch you soon, huh?"
He flipped off the radio. They stared at each other. There was a loud bang from inside the house, and a window shattered. "Oh, dear," muttered Aziraphale, not swearing with the practised ease of one who has spent 6,000 years not swearing, and who wasn't going to start now. "I must have missed one."
"No dog," said Crowley.
"No dog," said Aziraphale. The demon sighed.
"Get in the car," he said. "We've got to talk about this. Oh, and Aziraphale."
"Yes?" "Clean off that blasted cream cake before you get in." It was a hot, silent August day far from central London. By the side of the Tadfield Road, the dust weighed down the hogweed. Bees buzzed in the hedges. The air had a leftover and reheated feel. There was a sound like 1,000 metal voices shouting "Hail!" cut off abruptly. And there was a black dog in the road. It had to be a dog. It was dog-shaped. There are some dogs which, when you meet them, remind you that, despite thousands of years of man-made evolution, every dog is still only 2 meals away from being a wolf. These dogs advanced deliberately, purposefully, the wilderness made flesh, their teeth yellow, their breath a stink, while in the distance their owners whitter, "He's an old soppy, really, just poke him if he's a nuisance." And in the green of their eyes, the red campfires of the Pleistocene gleam and flicker. This dog would make even a dog like that slink nonchalantly behind a sofa and pretend to be extremely preoccupied with its rubber bone. It was already growling, and the growl was a low, rumbling snarl of spring-coiled menace, the sort of growl that starts in the back of one throat and ends up in someone else's. Saliva dripped from its jaws and sizzled on the tar. It took a few steps forward and sniffed the sullen air. Its ears flicked up. There were voices a long way off. A voice, a boyish voice, but one it had been created to obey, could not help but obey. When that voice said "follow," it would follow. When it said "kill," it would kill. His master's voice. It leapt the hedge and padded across the field beyond. A grazing bull eyed it for a moment, weighed its chances, then strolled hurriedly towards the opposite hedge. The voices were coming from a copse of straggly trees. The black hound slunk closer, jaws streaming. One of the other voices said, "He never will. You're always saying he will, and he never does. Catch your dad giving you a pet, an interesting pet anyway. It'll probably be stick insects. That was your dad's idea of interesting." The hound gave the canine equivalent of a shrug, but immediately lost interest because now the master, the centre of its universe, spoke.